Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's go to this next question, because it kind of also has a little bit to do with free agency in a sense. This question is from Duncan. Duncan asks, there is a chunk of the Bruins fan base that is appalled by the notion that the Bruins are going to have to pay Mitch Marner much more than Pasternak and McAvoy, but I feel like any other high-caliber free agents, Besser, Ehlers, etc., are also going to earn something similar to or even slightly above Pasternak or McAvoy. Isn't that just the market now? How can you sign any top-tier free agents if you are being so stubborn about not paying them more than your studs? I get the concern, but it's also impractical, and what's the point of even thinking about free agency if that's your mentality? So, Duncan, what I would say is this. I think that there are Bruins fans that also agree with that. And by the way, you're interpretation of free agency is exactly right. If there are Bruins fans that are upset about the notion of free agents getting paid more than your top players, they really shouldn't be if you're going to acquire. Because that's how it works. It's the market, the cap's going up, and it's supply and demand, right? I think that's where some Bruins fans acknowledge that, and they say, see, this is why you don't want to build your team or rely too heavily on free agency. But there's no doubt that you have to – everybody dips their toes into free agency. It's just about how much and how desperate you are. I think, if you look at the names out there right now – so we talked about this before the podcast. Scott clarified for me. But, yeah, McAvoy is making 9.5 right now. Pasternak is making 11.25. So according to – AFP Analytics, who this is their mid-season projections of the UFA market and what they're going to make this summer. They're actually, if you're interested, AFP Analytics will also put out very soon, they mentioned on Twitter today, their final end-of-season projections about every UFA and RFA and predicting what their contract on term and AEV will look like. So that's something you can reference. But from their mid-season calculations, and I think these are probably going to go up a little bit in term. In value. Mitch Marner, in the middle of the season, was projected to get 8 years, $12.6 million in free agency. I think we can all probably say that's going to be at least 13. Brock Besser, mid-season, is projected 7 years at $9.1 million. Nikolai Ehlers projected 6 years, $7.5 million. I think some players you might like Marner, you're not getting less than McAvoy or Pasternak. He would be the highest paid Bruin. I think Ehlers you might be able to get under those players, but generally speaking, and some others like Andre Kuzmenko, I think he'd be an interesting option for the Bruins. Depending on who they get or who they don't get, if Ehlers is in their plans or not. If they get Marner, they're probably not getting Ehlers. So it just depends on how it plays out. But to your question, and Bridget Scott, I apologize for rambling. I'll let you guys take over. But if you're appalled by the notion of new Bruins getting paid more than your studs, I guess it's just the business. It's just how free agency works. Whether or not you want the Bruins involved in free agency for that reason or not, I think that's where maybe some discourse is had.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to pay anyone more than McAvoy or Pasternak, then you're saying you don't want any other star players. Is basically what it comes down to. I think this team needs more star players. Like I think that's what they're lacking, especially offensively. They just don't have enough firepower. They don't have enough guys who can score in bunches, who can consistently be counted on to put up points. And if you want to add those guys, you have to pay. And, you know, look, like Pasternak is already a great value at 11.25. Over the next couple of years, as the cap keeps going up, he's going to be, if he keeps playing at this level, then he's far and away one of the best values in the NHL. So, like, you can't go, but if you set 11.25 as your high-end mark and say, you know, we're not paying anyone over that, then you're just not going to add any other stars like for the next 5 years. And I don't think that would be very wise for them.
No, I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, even though Mitch Marner is not better than David Pasternak, the point in time where he's coming on the market, things are just more expensive. And the competition that is going to be had for him this year is high enough to drive up the price. So, if you want to get better, and if you really, because you hear Bruins fans say the same thing, they think that every offseason, as most fan bases do, the Bruins should be going after best available, because the Bruins are a team that should be financially all in and should be, you know, competitively all in. And so the fan base wants the team to target guys like Mitch Marner. And obviously there is a risk of overpaying for a top free agent, but you kind of have to do it and hope that, you know, things pan out. If you're able to, you know, correctly evaluate what and project out what the future of this player might be and the fit on your team. So yeah, the Pasternak contract is great value. And the funny thing is when that extension, you know, if you guys can remember back to when we were talking about an extension getting done with Pasternak and how it was kind of controversial, like the Bruins didn't seem to want to go over 11, and then 11.25 got it done, but it almost didn't. And now it seems like that was very fair. And that contract is not going to be as, you know, it's not a huge overpay at all. So yeah. And I think that maybe we're speaking a little bit too much for the fan base, but I've seen much more, hey, the Bruins need to get Mitch Marner, than, hey, he shouldn't get paid this much money. Like, I've seen more of more fans on the side of do what it takes to make your team better by adding somebody like that.
Yeah. And that's what sort of like a similar to the debate that happened for years, just internally among the Bruins, where David Krejci was getting paid more than Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara. And like, I know people had an issue with that. So some fans and were like, Krejci doesn't deserve to be the highest paid player or whatever. And I just never had an issue with it. Cause it was like, well, Bridget, to your point, it's like, it was just a matter of when his contract was up. Like his was coming up at the right time for him to get a boost. Bergeron and Chara weren't up at that time. So their contracts were locked in, and like, if you wanted to keep Krejci, you had to go over it. Like, it's just that simple. And like, I never had an issue with it then. I don't now. It's just like, it's just the financial market of the NHL. It's all about when your contract's up.
Yeah. And I think where the problem lies with that is like this free agency class, Mitch Marner, to your point, Scott, you're paying for a star with him. He's a legit star. He's one of the premier right wingers in hockey alongside David Pasternak. But the problem is when you have a free agency class like last summer, where there aren't any stars available, you have a bunch of good players that time the market properly with their contracts expiring. Like when you have to pay top dollar for Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov because you feel like they address needs. And let's be honest, there's nobody better in the UFA class than them, and you're paying for those guys, well, that's where you start to get some resentment from fans regarding free agency, because you're like, okay, I get free agency, you got to pay top dollar, but maybe we don't think that this was the class to do it. But again, it's a very layered conversation, and you know, there's multiple sides to every argument. Guys,
to add this to it, just real quick, Brian, you mentioned how, you know, Mitch Marner is a true star coming available on the free agency market this year, whereas last year there wasn't. Like, it is rare. Like, this is a rare situation, a rare occurrence that a guy doesn't get extended by his organization when he's a star. Like, normally these, like, teams try to hold on to these guys as much as they can, and it just seems like that's not going to happen with Marner and with Toronto. So that's also what drives the price up, because it's like, okay, we don't even know if there's going to be a guy that comes next year on the market that's going to be as high of an impact player, because who knows, maybe Jack Eichel signs an extension and he doesn't ever come available. And there's that uncertainty as well with teams that are going to re-sign guys. And like Drysdale, remember we were having the Drysdale conversation with the Oilers, and what if he comes, like, that would have been a crazy, you know, insanely high contested bidding war over somebody like that. So when stars come available, the bidding war drives up the price. You just have to be willing to pay it or not, or move on.
Yeah. Or in the rare case that they do become available, whether it's by trade or free agency, they don't want to sign with you. Like, that, I know Boston is much more attractive than Carolina, but Carolina the last 2 years made two big trades for star wingers, Jake Gensel and Mikko Rantanen, and neither one wanted to sign there. Now, it seems, we don't have to get, like, it seems like maybe Gensel would have been open to, and they might not have offered enough, but whatever, like, they took swings and it didn't pay off for them. So, very last point I'll make on Marner. Really fascinating to see, to watch, another reason to watch this Toronto-Florida series, because I think, not even saying it's right or wrong, but how he plays in this series, I think, is going to inform a lot of the discussion, especially as it relates to the Bruins, as to whether or not he's worth spending $13 or $14 million on.
Yeah. And again, of course, this is why drafting and developing, regardless of where you're drafting, like, it's obviously easier to hit on draft picks the higher you're drafting in the first round, but there are plenty of examples around the league where, the Bruins are one of them over the last 20 years, but I mean, Tampa Bay, and there's a lot of examples of teams that have ended up finding star players and franchise guys even outside the first round. So if you're able to draft and develop and have more hits than misses and maybe get lucky a few times, you're not going to be relying so much on free agency, right? So it all ties together. The dependency on free agency for an organization is kind of a separate ailment. Of course, free agency is used to, you know, supply and supplement here and there. But okay. Guys, let's get to a couple of quick ones before we get out of here. I'm going to lump two together real quick, and then we'll end with a fun trade proposal, because we all love trade proposals. So I'm going to lump in these two questions real quick. The first one comes from Remy. And Remy says, you guys mentioned Murat Husnadinov spending the summer in Moscow. And my question is this. What are your thoughts on those players that are trying to earn a full-time spot on the team? Lysell, Husnadinov, etc., not going that extra mile and perhaps sacrificing most of their summer to stay and train in Boston at Warrior, where they may be exposed to more time with veteran players, coaches, staff, etc. And so I'll lump that in with a question regarding Dan's Loshmelis, and I'm just trying to find where it was. It was CJ who said, I saw that Dan Zlochmelis is headed to the World Championships following Providence's second game against the Checkers. Are you surprised that the Bruins agreed to this, considering how much they wanted him to develop in Providence and make a deep run with the Providence Bruins? So, first part on players that are trying to make the team full-time, not sticking around in Boston all summer for any benefits that may bring, and then on Loshmelis.
Yeah, so I'll say blanket statement, I don't have a problem with either one of these. Starting with Husnadinov, guys have lives and families, and Murat Husnadinov is still not even 2 years removed from moving out of Russia for the first time. in his life. His entire family, parents, everyone is still over there. I think it's are there benefits of staying in Boston, being at Warrior, being around Bruins teammates all summer? Yeah, of course there are. I think it's unrealistic to ask guys to not spend the only couple months that they get off to say, like, no, don't go spend it with your family. Especially a young guy who does not have a family of his own yet, who hasn't started a new life here yet. It's not fair. And you got to take into account, like, these are still human beings. And I think, you know, I can speak for all of us and hopefully most of our listeners, hopefully you're close to your family. Like, it matters. And guys aren't going to sacrifice, like, not seeing their family and friends too back home, like, at all.
But for the record, Brian did offer, if you wanted to stay in Boston, that you could stay with him if you wanted to.
Yeah. Bridget, we got to keep that stuff off the podcast. My personal life remains off the podcast, please. Thank you.
I know, but Brian had a nice guest room all made up for him. But
Koozie, no, I'm recording. No, we'll get lunch after. Sorry, man. He heard his name.
He speaks better English now, it seems like.
Yeah.
And by the way, he'll be skating with some really good players in Moscow over the summer. There's a lot of really good hockey players around there. And then on Lushmelis, he's not on his entry level contract yet. Technically, he's on an ATO right now. So I wouldn't even be surprised if that was part of the agreement going into it. Was like, yeah, I'll come in on an ATO, I'll play, but then I want to go to World Championships. Which, by the way, World Championships higher level of competition than the AHL playoffs. So, if anything, I know that's, it's not a good thing for Providence because he's been a good player there, but it's a good thing for Dan Lushmelis because that's a good tournament for him to be playing in.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go play against some of the Bruins because we know that World Championship, a few guys have gone over, Pastrnak's gone over, Lauko, Zaka's not because he's dealing with a little bit of an injury. Swayman went, Elias Lindholm went. So he's playing against NHL guys right now rather than AHL guys, which maybe that does help. And he's playing for Latvia, which just because I'm around him a little bit in college hockey, I know how big of a deal this is to him to play for his country, and how guys, especially from some of those European countries that aren't necessarily way up high in terms of, like, you know, they're not like a Finland, they're not like a Sweden. They're really prideful of that, and playing for their country in that way. I'm sure it was part of the deal when he came and signed with the Bruins in ATO out of college, out of UMass. Not surprised. Think it's, you know, one way or the other, he was going to be getting great experience if this is what he wanted to do. Then, you know, let him go out there, let him experience that. Because playing international hockey has been really valuable in development for guys. Think about World Juniors. How much do we talk about World Juniors in development for guys that then, you know, matriculate up to the NHL and tends to be a good sign that they're going to do well in the NHL as well. So talking about Lane Hutson or Ryan Leonard and guys like that, that international experience has a big impact on.
Scott, I just want to say real quick, I just saw this on Twitter. I think Spit and Chicklets may have posted this, but Victor Hedman played the playoffs for Tampa Bay with a broken leg. Maybe that's one of the reasons why your cup pick won't come to fruition, but that's quite the injury to have to play through. Hockey players, man.
I get that one back. So I'm no longer wrong.
No. Yeah, tell it to your friends who you paid $20 for your buy-in for the bracket. Do you think they'll give you your money back?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope so. I'll have to hunt some people down. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that was like a non-weight-bearing fracture. Obviously, if it's a weight-bearing bone, that's... You can't really play through that at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But still, like, yeah, obviously it's got to affect them, so.
All right, you two, let's get to one last question, okay? And as I said a few minutes ago, it's a trade proposal.
By the way, one other lightning piece of news I just saw on Twitter. Their GM, same press conference, Julian Brisebois, said he thinks they are not going to be able to sign Hobie Baker winner Isaac Howard at all. So Isaac Howard had already announced he was going back to Michigan State for a senior year. Brisebois basically just dropped that and said he doesn't think they're going to sign him at all. So Isaac Howard will be getting traded. He is a pretty highly ranked prospect. Kind of seems like a Rucker McGroarty situation last year where Winnipeg wasn't going to sign him. They ended up trading him to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you got to trade him before his rights
expire.
Yeah, because it's right. A lot of times guys stay – and then when in COVID, you know, stay 5-6 years and their rights would expire on you. And so you gotta move the contract before the kid becomes just a regular free agent.
Mm. And when would that be? Do we know when his rights expire?
I think not until after next year.
Yeah, because normally it's like if you take a fifth year off, then that's kind of when you're normally getting into that territory. But
okay.
Huh. Like that's what happened with the Bruins getting John Farinacci.
Mm. Wow. All right. Interesting times in Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens with John Cooper as well. I mean, they're a team that they obviously fell short, but they went all in, you know, at the deadline. They are the only team in the NHL, Tampa Bay, that has not had a top 10 draft pick over the last 10 years. I mean, June happens.
Brisebois did also say John Cooper will be back. So
unless
John Cooper changes his mind, that's their expectation.
Okay, well there's some good news too. Wow, last couple episodes we've had some news breaking while we're on. That's good shit. All right, guys, last question.
The Skate Podcast, the official podcast of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah. All right. Dan in Denver gives us this trade proposal. I don't know, hand up. I don't know if this money matches up, although he does mention some retained salary here. So I'm going to trust that maybe Dan asked this knowing that the money matches up. But anyway, he says to the New York Islanders.
By the way, first off, just maybe Dan does, but assuming people who email us understand salary cap, very, very dangerous game we're playing there, Brian. Okay.
Well, that's why, Scott, that's why I'm going to read it and you're going to come in right away and say, nope, that doesn't work. But all right. So to the New York Islanders, Casey Mittelstad, Matthew Patra, Fabian Lysell, 2026 first round, top 5 protected, 2027 first round, top 10 protected, and a 2027 second round pick. To the Boston Bruins, Matt Barzal, Noah Dobson, Anthony Duclair, 50% retained. Just looking at this quickly, I don't think that it does match up, but I could be wrong.
Well, it doesn't match up, but because it's the off season, it doesn't really matter if it matches up. You can plan the rest of your off season and cap situation around it. I'm not going to just come right in and say it doesn't work because in the summer, you can figure out a way to make it work. When I first saw this proposal, I was like, no way, that's insane. Bruins are giving up way too much. And I still think that is probably where I land, but it's not. I guess when you start to think about it more, it's not like as insane. I do really like Noah Dobson. So he's like, and he's a restricted free agent, so you would have to sign him to an extension. Barzell, I like, although not as much as I thought I was going to. Like, he still kind of leaves a little to be desired to me. I think he's been better as a wing than a center, so I don't know if you're necessarily plugging him in as your, you know, grab and go number one center. Like, the Islanders haven't really used him that way, and that's a team that has needed offense. So you would think if they really truly believe Barzell was a legit bona fide number one center, they'd be using him as such. I like the idea. It's creative, and I appreciate creativity. And the more I thought about it, it didn't seem as insane as my very first reaction reading this, but I still think the Bruins are giving up too much in this situation.
Yeah, look at the draft and prospect capital is just, there's a lot there, right? Like, Casey Middlestead, I don't think, like, I'm not sure anybody in Boston really is super high on him because they haven't seen him that much. And when they did see him, he was on a bad team and that wasn't playing good hockey. So Casey Middlestead is, you know, I don't think people are going to be mad about him if he were on the way out the door in this trade. But Matt Potter and Fabian Lysell, who are still young, those are two guys that there's been different times over the last few years where it seemed like they wouldn't want to trade either of them, never mind both of them in the same deal. And then two first round picks in 2026 and 2027, when you finally have gotten some draft capital back.
That's what kills it for me.
Yeah. It's too much and too young, and too much of the future is going out to bring those three guys in.
Also, well, you can take Anthony Duclair and keep him in New York. I have no interest in Anthony Duclair, to be completely honest.
Also, it said 50% retention, salary retention, but I think he only has a $3.5 million AAV anyway, so that's not going to save you a whole. Like, he was the cheapest part of this deal. I put some of the.
But there would need to be salary retention because that's a really bad contract. He signed to 2028, and quite frankly, like he played like a league minimum player this year. I mean, he had a bad season.
So in that case, no need to really include him in the deal probably in the first place. But anyway, yes, that was the trade proposal, deal proposal we got. Send in other ideas. We got more mailbag questions as well. We just don't really have time to get to them right now. But as Brian mentioned off the top, if we don't get to it, we probably will next week or at some point soon. So keep sending them in. And let me put the email and everything up. So in case people don't know how to get involved with us, obviously you can send it to any of our Twitters, comments on our YouTube, or send an email to skatepod@wei.com.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I won't really give much of an answer of my own on this one at this point, but I think you guys kind of hit it. I will say, like, the future being mortgaged, I mean, Noah Dobson's 25. Barzell, I think, is 27, and he had an 80-point year last year. He only played 30 games this year. Dobson had a 70-point season last year, came back down to earth this year, but, I mean, he's a 25-year-old right-shot defense, and I would go right behind McAvoy right now, and he would be your power play quarterback. So, you know, what are those first round picks, right? Is it 20? Is it 25? I mean, it's something to think about. I guess I don't have an answer right now, but I think, which is probably not a good thing on this podcast. I mean, I'm really thinking about it. Like, it depends what those picks are. Like, if the Bruins are planning on being a playoff team again, are you drafting between, you know, 17 and 32? And, you know, is getting Noah Dobson at 25 not good for your future? I mean, he's still got a decade plus left in the league. So, and Barzell's young. Yeah, good, very creative. But yes, thank you to everybody who submitted questions. And are we all set to go here? I mean, we have the draft lottery on Monday, so we will know where the Bruins are picking in the draft come June, and we can start to narrow down. And we'll be talking to Chris Peters later on to break down the prospects and more specifically what prospects could be in the Bruins drafting range. So, and he knows all about prospects. We've had him on a few times before. Scott, where does he write for again or work?
Chris is at Flow Hockey.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. we had him on the Lysell draft, which, you know, he gave us some, he kind of pointed us towards Lysell because we talked to him before he was drafted already. And that was a player that we had brought up, and he had given us some insight on him before the Bruins even got to him. And it'll be good timing because, like you said, Monday will be the draft lottery and there's going to be immediate availability for the Bruins. So I assume Scott and I will both be down there, maybe get another chance to ask some questions. I assume Sweeney will be available. I'm not sure if the others will.
It's gonna be Sweeney.
So yeah, maybe some more questions, more news to come out from that Monday, and some more specifics on where they're going to be drafting, because we did our fun little draft lottery, but we don't know, our mock draft. But we don't know if they are actually going to be picking at five, or maybe there's some good news and they're drafting in the first two. So that'll be exciting. And the timing for having Chris on will be good, because we'll know at that point where they're drafting and we can be more specific with him and what he thinks will happen at, say, you know, whether it's 1, 2, 5, 7, what it may be.
All right. I assume you two are good to go. So thank you all very much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.